Welcome to the Psych in Business podcast, where we highlight the integration of psychology and psychological principles into the world of business and organizations. I'm your host, Dr. Ernest Wade. So today we're going to go back to looking at team effectiveness models. And today I really want to focus on a pretty well-known model, specifically the five dysfunctions of a team. Now, this is a little different in that we're focusing on the relationship dynamics that cause a team to fail, but we'll swing around later and reframe them into what a team actually needs to do to be effective. The model was actually developed by author and consultant Patrick Lencioni and came out of his original thinking of the five temptations of a CEO, and he has a book by that name. Lencioni realized that some of those lessons that he had in that book could actually be applied to teams, specifically executive leadership teams. And in fact, in that book, the five obsessions that he outlined for CEOs are vulnerability over trust, harmony over conflict, certainty over clarity, popularity over accountability, and status over results. Now, in the five dysfunctions model, we have very similar dysfunctions, which I think line up pretty well. So the first one that he has is absence of trust due to a lack of willingness to be vulnerable, a fear of conflict resulting in artificial harmony within the team, a lack of commitment, which results in ambiguity within the team, avoidance of accountability, which again results in low standards being set within the team, and inattention to results due to a focus on status, individual status, and ego. So you can see some pretty obvious parallels between the individual leadership behaviors and group dysfunction. And I would say that's pretty common. You very often see the way that the leader behaves is the way that the team will behave, or at least the dysfunctions of the leader will filter into the team. And that's because when we're talking about a team, we're talking about a group of individuals, and each individual will bring themselves to the team behavior. So the team behavior, the resulting team behavior, will very often reflect to a large degree the individual behaviors that you see within the team. At least the dominant behaviors within the team will be reflected as team behavior. So let's go through the model in a little bit more detail, starting with the first one, which is lack of trust. And this is one that I wholeheartedly agree with, and I've actually talked much about. For me, trust is a foundational characteristic of a leader. Really, it should be for anyone. If you remember in one of my individual episodes when I talked about trust, the definitions of trust really focused on the willingness of someone to be vulnerable to the actions of others, right? So again, it's the willingness of someone to be vulnerable to the actions of others, putting yourself in that psychological state where you can accept your vulnerability based upon your positive expectations and intentions of the behaviors of others around you. So in this case, based upon the positive expectations of your team members. These definitions really highlight one of the things that I talked about, which was how important it was for leaders to be able to extend trust to others that they are leading. Even on the individual level, when you're working on trust as an individual leader, one of the things that you really need to do is extend trust to others. And this is exactly why it matters in a team environment. You have to be able to extend trust as a leader if you are expecting others within the team to trust you or to trust others, to extend that vulnerability. Lencioni is really saying here that a lack of team trust is directly related to a team member's unwillingness to be vulnerable to each other, which is perfectly in line with the definition and requirements of trust. For a team, trust really means you have to believe that your team members have good intentions towards each other, towards you, and towards the organization. They're putting the organization's interest over their individual interests. When you don't have trust in the team, you see that team members will hide mistakes and their weaknesses. They'll jump to negative conclusions about others. They'll hold grudges. They usually hate meetings and events where they have to interact with other team members because they don't want to be in a position of vulnerability to those people. Now, the reverse is obviously true when you do have trust. For example, you'll have in a trusting team, people will admit their mistakes and their weaknesses. You have greater transparency. people give each other the benefit of the doubt, and so on. The next dysfunction follows on the heels of a lack of trust and is really as a result of that lack of trust. It's a fear of conflict that results in that fake harmony where people are pretending that everything is good because they don't want to talk about the issues or concerns where disagreement might ensue. They don't want to get into fights. You actually see this a lot when new teams are forming, and it's really damaging when they can't get over it and just have those open, honest discussions, which makes sense when you think about it, when there is no trust. If there is no trust, people aren't going to open up and be vulnerable and have those really hard discussions. I've also seen this a lot in marital relationships, where people pretend that everything's all right, being really nice to each other instead of having it out, getting to the details of the issue and working through it. Now, it's important to distinguish here when we're talking about conflict that we mean productive ideological conflict, like what types of strategies should we use, what products should we be focused on, instead of that interpersonal conflict like, I don't like you. When a team can't engage in that productive conflict, it can damage the team, particularly a leadership team that is supposed to make decisions for the organization. A lot of the time, when you have teams where you can't have open conflict, you'll have things like back channeling between the team, you'll have that clear avoidance of discussions around conflict, and even when decisions are made and someone has not engaged in the discussion, you haven't had that conflict, that individual will a lot of times still speak out, but outside of the team to other individuals where it's not appropriate. And that can result in splitting. It really shows a lack of general cohesion for the team. And this can be very confusing and undermines the team and the team's decision. It can be very confusing and very hard for an organization when a team makes a decision, but one of the team members speaks out against that decision in private discussions with team members. It really shows that the team is not aligned, the team is not on the same page. The third dysfunction is a lack of commitment. And if you don't have meaningful discussions that include conflict, that allow team members to fully express their thoughts and their opinions, it's really going to be very difficult for those team members to fully invest in the decision of the team. Very often, people actually just want to know that they've had the opportunity to express their opinions and that it's been given that due consideration within the meeting by their peers. It's also incumbent on the team and or the team leader to actually make a decision and stick to it. When a team focuses too much on seeking consensus, it very often never reaches a decision. And so no decision is actually made, which leads to ambiguity within the team. People don't know what they're doing. It's very easy to not commit when there is no clear direction or decision. And if you don't actually know what you're committing to or feel like you haven't been heard. I've seen this a lot in organizations, especially leadership organizations, where a lot of the time the team will try to get to consensus instead of actually voting or a leader making a decision. And so you'll have the same discussion over and over and over and over again, trying to get to consensus. And a decision is actually never made. And what actually happens sometimes is that people get worn down by the loudest person in the room. And that loudest person will often win because everyone else is just tired of having the discussion, which really means that people aren't committing to that decision. They're just happy to be done with the discussion. And so when it comes time for them to invest or take action to make sure that the decision is actually followed through, you have a clear lack of commitment and people don't actually commit to that decision or engage in making sure that it's successful. The fourth dysfunction is avoidance of accountability, which happens a lot when you don't have a clear plan and don't engage in conflict and or don't commit to your decisions. Team members don't feel comfortable holding each other accountable, so they usually just set low standards. They ignore errors, miss deadlines, or they don't even discuss progress towards the goals. And this leads directly to that last dysfunction, inattention to results, which is the tangible business outcome here. Teams and organizations that don't pay attention to results don't grow. They usually stagnate, they're easily distracted, and will quickly lose employees because nobody wants to be in an organization that isn't making progress, that doesn't have clear goals, that isn't reaching their results. This can very easily discourage that culture of team, that focus on we approach, and rather encourages that me first mentality, which can be very damaging to any organization. It's really easy to see how each step here follows directly from the next. So I really encourage you to start with trust. If you know anything about me, you know that trust is a big thing for me. Trust is the cornerstone of an individual and a team relationship. Focusing on trust will go a long way towards eliminating these dysfunctions for a team. All right, as always, I hope this has been helpful and I hope you would join us again. Thank you.